you, brother. God bless you. Amen. Well, all right. Turn with us, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I want to say I appreciate getting to be in the meeting, and appreciate that song, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I'm like the pastor said, no matter what's happening around us, we keep our eyes on heaven, keep our eyes on home. Amen. Somebody at church asked me yesterday, said, "Preacher, what do you do about all this stimulus package that's coming out? And don't agree with it, but what do you do when they send you a check?" I said, you cash it and buy ammo. Amen. Isn't that right? Every time I buy bullets, I feel that much better. Amen. Stop watching the news and just stock up is all I say. Amen. Every Christian ought to own a 1611 and a 1911, at least a 1911 in this day and time. And amen, serve God. It's been good to be here. I just appreciate the presence of the Lord. Brother, give me all the volume you can give me. Amen. I need all the help, all the gas, all the juice I can get. Amen. If you're able to stand with us tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I thank you, preacher, for letting me come. And I'm going to pray. You know, God does answer prayer. How many of y'all believe that? Because I prayed all afternoon. I wouldn't have to preach behind Brother Tim Fleur. And so God does answer prayer. And I feel sorry for Brother McKeon if he switches it up on you tomorrow night. But I'm just glad to be where God's at. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor," let me back up verse 4, "but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. A nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Our precious Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you once again tonight, Lord, we do come to the throne of grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Give us safe traveling mercies today. Thank you, dear God, for your people. Thank you for this pastor and this place. And Lord, I do pray that you'll bless this meeting. I pray the Holy Ghost would do what needs to be done in all of our hearts. Lord, help us to be sensitive. I pray, God, you'll bless the labor and the effort that has been put forth by this church. And I ask, Lord, that you would grant them the desires of their heart this week. Bless every man of God that'll stand and preach. And Lord, I pray that we'd all leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And God, for what you do tonight, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. For we do love you, and we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to draw your attention here in just a moment to verse number 8. And I want to preach on this subject tonight, on the road to revival. Amen. The road to revival. I think if there's ever been a time that we need revival, it is certainly the hour that we're living in tonight. And when we come to this text here, I want you to notice this prophet here the Bible talks about by the name of Azariah. Look in verse number 1. And you'll notice here the blessing of Azariah and his message. The Bible said, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded." Now, when I think about Azariah and I think about his message was not without a blessing. Isn't that right? You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, if you look at verse number 1,
Azariah was blessed with authority behind his message. The Bible said that the Spirit of God came upon him. I want to say tonight that is the authority of any message that is ever preached. It's not my strength and it's not my power, but it's the authority of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, the missing element in our pulpits tonight is the touch of Almighty God. Amen. Brother, we've got more intellect, and I'm not against that. We've got more education, and I'm not against that tonight. But we're missing the power in the presence and the touch of God. It's going to take more than personality. Can I get a witness on that? It's going to take more than charisma. It's going to take more than a sad story or a moving story. We need the wind and the breath from another world. Amen. And so I see the blessing on Azariah's message in the fact that it had authority, and then it had anointing. Notice what the Bible said. It said that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. In other words, the authority is the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God anointed him. It came upon him. Isn't that amazing how God can put his blessing not only on the message, but he can put it on that man? I mean, when you think about it tonight, Brother Curtis, we're nothing but earthen vessels. Amen. There's nothing good when any of us, there's nothing in us worth bragging about or boasting about. God picks us up out of the dunghills of this old world, takes us out of nothing, puts us in everything, fills us with His Holy Ghost, gives us a message from heaven, and breathes on it, and anoints that message. Amen. And so I see the blessing of Azariah's message. Well, don't we need some preaching like that in these days? And then I see the boldness of Azariah's message. Notice there's boldness in the fact that he's coming to this king here. The Bible said in verse number 2 that he went out to meet Asa. Amen. In other words, he didn't wait for an invitation. He didn't wait for some high official to come get him. Or he went in unannounced and unwelcomed. Amen. I want to tell you, if verse number 2 proves anything, it proves that the office of a preacher, the office of a prophet, is higher than the office of a politician. Amen. And he went in some boldness. What we need in this hour is some men of God that will stand up in the pulpit and preach without the fear and the favor of man, and preach and not worry about the White House, not worry about all the mandates and all the laws, but just preach. I mean, we're living in a time when we need some boldness back in the pulpit. Amen. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I'm not talking about arrogancy or being a smart aleck. I'm just talking about taking a firm stand. Can I get a witness on that? I see the boldness of his message in the fact that he was coming to the king. Notice the boldness in his message in the fact that he cried out to the king. He said, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin." I'm telling you, here's a preacher, here's a prophet that's got a message from God, and he's not afraid to deliver it. Amen. He preaches to the king just like he preaches to everybody else. I'm going to tell you, when you get up to preach, man of God, you got to look past the bankroll. You got to look past their status in society. You got to look past the who's who. You got to look past family. I'm telling you, when you stand in the pulpit, we have to divorce ourselves from public opinion and public appearance. And we've got one responsibility, and that is that the supremacy of God would reign in preaching, that we would not preach to be heard. We would not preach to help, but we would preach for one reason and one cause, and that's to glorify God. Amen. And if we preach to glorify God, we'll always be heard. People will always get help, but God will always get the glory. Amen. I'm talking about the boldness of his message tonight in his crying out to the king. How about the boldness of his message in his clarity to the king? Amen. Look what he said in verse number 2. He said, "The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Is that not a clear message tonight? I mean, when you think about that sermon, that message tonight, hey, listen, we don't have to have a commentary to figure out what verse number 2 is saying. There's no debating what he's saying. Asa wasn't scratching his head saying, now, what was the point? No, he goes to the root of the problem. The message is simple. Hey, the message is clear. Isn't it amazing how some men can preach around sin and about sin, but never really preach on sin? Amen. They become masters at painting a picture and preaching without ever really saying anything. I don't know about you, but I just want a man of God to get up and preach with a touch of God. Get plugged into heaven, amen, and deliver the message and not worry about, listen, what people say or what people think or whether they're shouting or pouting, amen. I say, just preach, hallelujah.
You say, preacher, I can't amen your message because I don't know you. It don't make it, listen, it don't make a hill of beans to me tonight. If you say amen, old me, if you run, shout, turn cartwheels, or stick your tongue out at me, it's not going to make no difference to me tonight. God told me what to preach. I just want to obey God. Amen. I'm saying we just need boldness back in our message. Hallelujah. Then there's the beginning in verse 3 of Azariah's message. Notice what he says in verse 3. He tells us in this verse that he says here that now for a long season, Israel had been without. I think about in this verse, he tells them that they had been without three things. He says in verse number 3, they had been without the true God. They had been without a teaching priest. And they had been without the law. When you think about what was missing in Israel's life here, they had been without the true God. That had to do with their worship. Amen. You see, they had worship, but they didn't have real worship. I think we're living in that hour, aren't we? People have learned how to worship without the presence of God. In fact, they're doing pretty good at it. Church is doing good. Got a crowd, got finances, nothing wrong with either one. And I'll tell you, the missing element in a lot of churches today is that they're graveyard dead. They've got pretty buildings, they've got good bankrolls, but there's no breath, there's no conviction, there's no moving of God. Amen. They're without the true God. And when you're without the true God, your worship becomes fake worship. Amen. It becomes fleshly worship. It becomes funeral worship. Somebody say amen right there. I don't like to go to a dead church. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, listen, I think if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to say amen to the preaching at least 25 times. Amen, boys. You ought to throw your hand up every now and then. The Bible said in Psalms 134, oh, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, all you people of the Lord. Hey, that's just Bible. Amen. And worship doesn't demand a response from God. It demands a response from us. Amen. And we ought to just come ready and we ought to just come ready to worship Him and magnify Him. And if we'll do that, He'll get in the midst and He'll be real. Hallelujah. We got a lot of funeral worship. Been in some churches, preach revivals. If I'd had a body, we'd had a great funeral. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we got a lot of funny worship. It's amazing what goes on in church nowadays and people's okay with it. I mean, people don't say anything about it anymore. I was sitting in a church service one night in a revival meeting. My wife was sitting next to me and some young lady got up, and I'm not being critical. I'm just being honest. She got up and sung a song and she wasn't dressed appropriate, if you know what I'm saying. And she got up and she sung a song about a pony running through a field and a rainbow. And you know what people were doing? They should have been scratching their head wondering what's that about. But instead, they were saying amen. I thought, Lord, she got more amens out of that song and I did out of my preaching. But isn't it amazing how people don't question hardly anything anymore? And if you do question something, they think you're the weirdo. I'm just telling you, friend, I want to go where it's right, don't you? I want to go where it's taught. Somebody say amen. If it was wrong 25 years ago, it's still wrong today. Amen. And if you said amen 25 years ago, you ought to say amen tonight. I'm just talking about whenever a church gets without true worship, you know what will happen, friend? Without the true God, their worship will become funny. Amen. Then I'll say, not only was they without the true worship of the true God, but notice the Bible says here in verse number 3 that they were without a teaching priest.
That simply means that they were had had to do with their wisdom. That true worship, that true God had to do with their worship. But that teaching priest, the responsibility of the priest was to tell people what was right and what was wrong. Amen. Was to teach them the difference. Amen. True wisdom. Hey, the man of God ought to preach against sin. Isn't that right? You say, well, I felt like I went to church Sunday and I felt like my preacher was preaching to me. That's what he's paid to do. Amen. He's supposed to preach to you. I tell our folks, listen, if you come and I don't preach to you, you see me after the service and we'll give you money back. Amen. Not really. You know that. But I'm telling you, listen, don't ever get mad when the preacher preaches on your sin. He's not supposed to preach around that. He's not supposed to preach over it. He's supposed to hit it head on. That's what we're here for. We're just a bunch of sinners and we need somebody that'll preach against our sin. Amen. Without true wisdom, it had to do with their wisdom. And then they were without law. Not the law, just without law. That had to do with their way of living. Every man was doing that which was right in their own eyes. People want to go to a church where you can just do whatever you want to do. Live any old way you want to live. If you want to shack up and live like dogs and sing in the choir, it's okay. It may be okay in a lot of places, but it ain't okay with God. Can I get a witness? I'm telling you, friend, listen, the further we get, the more narrow this thing's going to get. But I tell you what we need to do in this hour, we need to have revival. Amen. And when Ezariah brought this message to the king, he wanted him to know that if you'll do what I tell you because God said so, you can get on the road to revival and you and all of Israel can get back to where you used to be at. I'm telling you tonight, friend, God has not lost his power and the word of God has not shortened its power tonight, and the Holy Ghost will still work and he'll still move if we'll just deliver the message and if we'll trust God and obey it. God will do what he said he would. I want to give you three things here tonight and be done on the road to revival. What is the road to revival? I want to say, first of all, the road to revival is a road of remembrance. Look what he does in verse number 4. He takes them back down memory's lane. He said, but when they were in trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, and he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nations was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. You see, what Ezariah does is he reminds King Asa. He reminds him in verse 4 about Israel's trouble and their turning, that when they were in trouble, they turned back to God. Can I tell you, we're in trouble tonight. Our nation's in trouble tonight. I don't have to elaborate on it. You probably, like I am, you've heard so much about it, you're as sick of it as I am. But the truth of the matter is that God is more upset with the sinfulness of saints than he is the sinfulness of sinners. I believe God is more upset, my friend, with the failures and the broken promises and all the corruption that goes on in the church house, far more than what he is with the failures and the broken promises and the corruption in the White House. You say, well, preacher, it fires me up, and it does me too. I mean, about watching 10 minutes of Fox News, I want to get a gun, shoot the television. Hey, somebody say amen. That's always a good idea too, by the way. But you know what? I watch 10 minutes of that, I get fired up. And you ought to if you're a red-blooded American. But what upsets God is that we're more passionate about the problems and the corruptions going on up there. But we're blinded to what's happening in here. We've got so used to the atmosphere, so used to what's happening. There's as much politics going on in churches as there is in Washington. Where do you think they learn all of it? Amen. I'm talking about, friend, it's as bad amongst preachers as it is in singers, as it is anybody else. You say, well, you're never going to come preach for me. That's okay. I'm just telling you, I'm not running for office tonight. I'm just simply telling you the truth. That, friend, we're in real trouble right here. And the hope and the salt of the earth is right here tonight. And if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to go back down memory's lane and remember that every time we got in trouble, if we turn to God, God will deliver us again. Hallelujah.
He'll help us, won't He? And He talks about His triumph, their triumph in verse number 4. That they turned to the Lord God of Israel when they were in trouble. And they sought Him, and look, the Bible said He was found of them. I'm telling you tonight, if people will heed the warning and heed the message and turn their hearts back to God, we can have revival tonight. The road to revival is when we get broken before Him. Our hope, our triumph, and our victory has never been within ourselves. It's always God. It always has been, and it always will be. He tells him in verse 5 to remember the times. As he said, and in those times, there was no peace that went out, nor to him that came in. He talks about the trend of turmoil, that there was great vexation upon all the inhabitants of the countries, nation, destroyed of nation, city of city. Why? For God did vex them with all adversity. I think you'll agree with me tonight that the judgment of God is on America tonight. I love America, don't you? I still believe in flying the flag. Amen. I still believe in flying a Confederate flag. Somebody say amen. I still believe in all of that. The history, the heritage, the hope. I love America tonight, and I know that you do. And I love this nation, and she's worth praying for, and she's worth dying for. Anybody that don't love America, hey, listen, we'll buy you a one-way ticket to North Korea, amen, tonight, if you want to go. But I tell you, I got no use for somebody that would burn American flag or would spit on the steps of our great nation. I'm talking about I've got no use, my friend, for somebody that is a Marxist and wants to take away our liberty and our freedom and our rights. Too much blood was shed, and we ought to stand for it. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the road to revival is whenever we, as a people of God, recognize that God is pouring His judgment out on this nation. And I see the remembrance. The road to revival is a road to remembrance. The road to revival tonight is a road of reassurance. Look at verse 7. He says, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." He tells King Asa, he said, "King Asa, you need to be strong." He said in this verse, "Be strong, therefore." I say to every man of God and to every Christian here tonight, it's not an hour for weak, spineless Christians. We need to be strong. You see, tonight we can't be silent for what we've stood for. I don't care if what laws they pass in this country. They can call it hate speech. They can say what they will. Sodomy was sin in the 70s. It was sin in the 80s, in the 90s, and it's sin, listen, in 2021 tonight. I'm going to tell you, friend, sodomy always has been sin, and we have to preach against it. We can love the sinner, but we better hate the sin. We better let another generation coming up and knowing they're trying to pump it through the television screen, pump it through the internet, trying to pass equality, and want another generation coming up. I want every one of you young boys to know tonight that sodomy is still sin. It always has been sin. It always will be sin. Amen. And if I had a squeaky voice, I'd go out back every day and hit my thumb with a hammer until it strengthened it a little bit more. Hey, listen, don't look like a sodomite. Don't act like a sodomite. Don't get a limp in your wrist. Be a man. Hallelujah. Men ought to be men, and women ought to be women. I preach this way at my church. I just believe we ought to preach this way everywhere. Sodomy is still sin. Amen. Gambling is still sin. Amen. I know nobody in this crowd buys a lottery ticket. You're too spiritual. Do something like that. Amen. I'm telling you, say, well, preacher, I don't think that's really wrong. It's still sin. Because gambling's sin, because in order for you to win, that means somebody else has to lose. Amen. And Christian living is about giving. It's not about taking. Amen. I'm talking about, friend, listen, there's some people need to learn how to hustle instead of being a hustler. Amen. You don't need to spend your days ripping somebody else off. Now at the 7-Eleven, you're never going to get ahead. And waste, you got to be a good steward of money God gives you. I'm just talking about that sin tonight. Adultery is still sin. Amen. Still unlawful. I'm telling you, you ought to love your wife, hug your wife, kiss your wife, but nobody else's. Somebody say amen right there. Fornication, still sin. Still good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. I'm talking about, say, talking about 6 feet and social distancing. That's good for every young boy and every young lady. I'm talking about free it. Hey, keep it right. When you walk down the wedding aisle, you ought to have a clear conscience. You ought to have a pure heart. And you ought to have a good testimony. Amen. I'm talking about be right. I'm just simply saying tonight, we've got to be strong in this hour. And be steadfast. He said, let not your hands be weak. Don't get tired of doing what you're doing. Don't stop midstream. Don't stop when they come. Don't let up. Hey, listen, don't get in your 50s or 60s or whatever age and say, well, I'm nearing the end of the shore, so I'm thinking more about retirement now, so I'm just going to let up on a few things. I'm not going to mention them as much. I'm still going to stand up. No, you got to preach against it. That generation coming up needs to hear it. Amen. You got to be steadfast. Stay the course. And there's a lot of people jumping ship. There's a lot of people going in different directions. But can I tell you what we need to do tonight? We need to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The road of reassurance, he said, be strong, be steadfast. And then he said, be sure your work shall be rewarded. Man of God, stand. Church members, stand. When your preacher preaches on salvation, say amen. When he preaches on the second coming, say amen. But when he starts preaching on separation, don't get locked jaw, tight lip on him. Back him up. I mean, hey, it ought to not get quiet when we start preaching about holy living. I mean, that ought to be a time when the church rallies behind the man of God so that everybody knows it's not just the preacher. It's what the Bible says. And we're all in agreement with it. Amen. I remember an older preacher telling me one time, he said, son, when you get a little bit older, he said, you'll understand and you'll kindly settle down. You know what I did? I tried my best by the grace of God to keep my eyes on some men that never did settle down, that never did coast, that just kept hoeing the same road. That they were sure. I'm telling you, listen, if we were right then, we're right now. Amen. Let's just stay the course. One day there is a payday. I'm telling you, friend, God will reward your labor of love if you be faithful. Hallelujah. The road to revival is a road of reassurance, a road of remembrance. Then let me say in closing tonight, it's a road of repentance. Isn't that right? You can't have revival without repentance. We have a generation, they like the glory, they like the shout, they like to praise God, but they don't want the commitment. And when we come to this text, I want you to notice in verse number 8 and 9, the Bible says that when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, look what the Bible says, he took courage. I want to tell you tonight, there's humility in repentance. There's also courage. It takes courage to get up out of that seat where you're at. Lay your title, your position, your thoughts of others aside. Walk down an aisle and humble yourself. It takes courage to not look around and see if somebody else is going to make the first move. Say, God, you spoke to me and I heard from you. And Lord, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. If it's only me, it's still me. Standing in the need of prayer tonight. I want to say the road of revival is repentance. There's courage in repentance. There's cleanliness in repentance. Notice what the Bible said. They put away the abominable idols out of the land. You know, repentance involves a putting away. It's not enough to just come here and ask God to forgive you, and then that ought to be done. That's not the end of repentance. It's confessing and forsaking.
That's right.
It's walking away from.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, you got anything? I have to repent every day of my life. I used to get so, I don't enjoy repentance. But I used to think, man, when am I going to get to the place where I don't have to repent no more? Remember, after I got saved, I went to church. I was a bus kid. I didn't know anything. Didn't even have a Bible. And I remember I went to church and the preacher got up and he preached on long hair. And I went to the altar and I said, God, forgive me. I go get a haircut. And I went that week and got a haircut. Man, I felt so good. And I went back to church the next Sunday and he preached on dipping. I always like to look around when I say that. And he preached on dipping. And so I went, I didn't know no better. I went down there and put my Copenhagen on the altar. And I said, God, I'm sorry. And then went back. And you know what he preached on the third? Rock music. And he just kept on and on. And finally, I was going home one day. And I thought, I wonder when I'm going to get to the place where I can sit in church and the preacher can preach on things and it never bothers me anymore. And I found this out. Repentance don't end when you get saved. It just begins. I never repented over nothing before I got saved. And I never want to get to the place where I can sit there service after service. I don't care if you come to the altar tonight. That's your business. That's between you and God. If you need to come, only you and God knows that. But I'm telling you, I don't want to get to the place where I let the fact that I'm a preacher or a pastor or anything else hold me in a seat. I don't want to get to a place where I just say, well, God, I'll take care of it right here. No, I want to be like it was when you remember how it was when you first got saved and your heart was so tender and you were so, there's so many things wrong with us, but yet we were so tender and so in tune with God that this very second the Holy Ghost dealt with something in our life. We said, yes, Lord, if it satisfies you, it satisfies me. If it needs to go, I'm telling you, friend, we can't have revival unless there's a putting away. Amen. There's construction in this repentance. Amen. The Bible said they renewed the altar. It's not just separation from, but it's separation to. Amen. The reason the man in Psalms 1 doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, is because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You can be gun barrel straight and twice as empty if all you have is standards. But if you separate from this world and you separate to the things of God and you have a relationship with the Lord, I tell you, love will keep you from doing a whole lot of things. Amen. There's just some things tonight I don't want to do. My flesh may say, go ahead and do that. But I love him too much to break his heart. I love him too much because he first loved me. Don't you? I tell you, Brother Todd, there's some places where we could all get drunk tonight if we wanted to. We could all smoke pot tonight if we wanted to. But we don't want to. Amen. We found something better than what this world could ever offer. We found something more satisfying. I say, bless his name. It's just good to know him. Tonight, hallelujah. And then there's the congregation in this repentance. Notice the Bible said in verse number 9, and he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. Notice the commitment, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. Commitment. And then the confidence when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. You know something the Lord spoke to me about a few years ago? I reckon I'm like every pastor. We go through times where it seems like we get so aggravated at our people because they're not doing, you know, the way that we would like to see them doing. Let's just be honest. Maybe we go through a slump and we wish that they'd get more committed. We wish they'd get closer to God. We wish they'd move up. We want to see them advance. I remember a time going through that. And I was praying one day and I said, dear God, please get a hold of our people. Get a hold of some of them. Some of them's way too carnal. Some of them's way too uncommitted. Some of them, Lord, it's been a long time since they've been down the aisle. Lord, help them. And I'm going to tell you, God, you ever had God just stop you dead in your tracks? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, son, they may get closer when they see more God on you. He turned that prayer around and God said, let's quit talking about them. Let's talk about you. You want more life in them? Why don't you get some life in you? You want them to move up? I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. Why don't you make some new, renewed commitments to God? You want them to get hungry? Why don't you get more hungry? You want them to go higher? Why don't you go higher with God tonight? I'm talking about the road to revival. It's a road of repentance tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us in this day to not be satisfied. Lord, help me tonight to not see anybody else in this room as the problem other than myself. Lord, I have more faults than I care for anyone to ever know. God, help us tonight. Help us to be hungry like we once were. Help us to not go through this meeting and just exist. And God, I pray that we would push everything else aside, and God, that we'd really seek your face these days. Bless everything that'll be done, and we'll thank you for it. Give the pastor wisdom in Christ's name. Amen.